questions. Ah, such sweet agony, to not know things which we desire deeply to be privy of. The Big Bang. What happens after you die? Extraterrestrial life. All of these questions and more will not, in any way, be answered here. But I got another guest, and we're going to have a conversation about them and life and what have you. So, welcome, Mystery Guest.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course, of course. This is a long time coming, obviously. We had been talking about doing a podcast since at least 3 or 4 months ago, so
yeah.
This is great. We get to finally meet and have a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I can start things off the way I usually do with this. Another thing, too, I used to have fake sponsors, but I've literally run out, so I don't have any more, so that gimmick's kind of gone to the dust. That's a real sponsor, but sure, let's see if they give us money. Today's sponsor is Balzac's Coffee Roasters, established in 1993. Hey, that's the year I was born. So there you go. So Balzac's, by all means, give royalty checks, do whatever you want. Okay, so as mentioned before, you are a mystery guest, first time on the podcast, so the question I ask every new guest is, how was your day so far today?
It was good, thank you.
It was good, yeah.
Yeah, I woke up, it's sunny, it's beautiful.
That's true, especially the last few days we had have just been cloudy and freezing, so
yeah.
It's a good change of pace.
Looking forward, it's perfect in time for the weekend, so.
Yeah, actually, that's true. Normally, weather likes to screw us, or at least I remember growing up, like, in school and stuff. During the school, it would be, like, great weather, and then as soon as the weekend hits, it would just start raining, so that's good. So without giving away too much, what would you say it is that you do for a living?
For a living, I do a lot of things. I'm currently a freelancer right now, working in the film industry as a producer and production manager.
Yeah.
And sometimes on the side, I also do freelance photography and videography.
Really? I don't think I knew that. That's great. Do you own all of your own equipment, or do you do a rental service?
No, I own my own camera and equipment.
Nice.
So,
could you go over the specs, if that's okay, for any of the audience members that are techies? Like, do you have a Canon or a Panasonic?
Yeah, I just have a Canon DSLR. It's a Canon 60D, and I've got a couple of lenses, so it's a small kit, but it does me well.
It's effective, yeah. What are most of the projects that you go into? Is it wedding photography? Or?
No, I hate weddings.
Oh, okay. Yeah, true. Promotional stuff, then? What's normal?
Usually,
the only thing that comes to mind is weddings.
Usually I do work for musicians.
Oh, nice.
And,
yeah, that would be cool.
Artists and actors who want their headshots taken, or I'll do creative shoots for bands, singers, and rappers in Toronto.
Nice.
Yeah.
And mostly Toronto-based, or do you go outside of the GTA?
No, they're mostly Toronto-based.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Keep it local, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. This may be a weird question, but do you own a vehicle at all?
No,
okay, yeah, so you're
fully
committed.
I'm, like, really bad at driving.
No, well, that's okay. You still at least have your G or your G2?
I have my G2.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
As soon as I get my next job, I'm going to take driving lessons.
Okay, that helps. I say it's not worth going into the DZ area. It's especially in Toronto.
What's
you're just
the DZ
asking,
area?
The DZ, like, it's a license class for anything that's air pressure operated, like bigger trucks, large haul. I mean, obviously you could do whatever you want, but it's like, I'm scared just to drive my regular Toyota Corolla in Toronto, so I can only imagine what driving those beasts will be like.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad. Well, so you got your license, though. Was that just part of growing up?
Yeah.
What were your expectations with that? You're just in high school, so you're like, as well.
No, I got it in university.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, and I've been meaning to get my G, but I just don't really have, like, a car to practice on.
Yeah, or enough of a reason, right? Yeah.
So I need to get driving lessons to learn how to drive on the highway.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, Toronto would be the place, I think, where you either... whatever the term is, swim or drowned. Like, it's crazy. As far as anywhere else you could possibly drive, it's like, you really got to be on your toes.
Yeah.
People just hit the brakes constantly or merge, like, cut people off. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But
well,
just
I just take the Uber and TTC everywhere, so.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no problems so far? Do you have any crazy Uber stories where, you know, running red lights or anything like that?
No.
No? Not so much? Okay, that's good.
Uber's pretty good to me.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good review.
It's just really expensive.
Yeah, true. Yeah. It's the only downside. Have you ever considered traditional taxis, or do you flip between them, or are you, like, just Uber?
I like Uber better.
Yeah. More convenient, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can track everything. Yeah,
yeah.
Nice. So, how was your high school experience without driving or anything? Was it all in Toronto, or did you travel a lot?
Yeah, I went to an all-girls Catholic high school.
Really?
In
what?
North York.
No kidding.
And it was awful and horrible.
Oh no.
Yeah, okay. It was just so boring. It was like the most boring time of my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't make any lifelong friends or anything?
No, not really.
Wow, okay.
I just thought that my high school was extremely boring.
Yeah.
And it was like really run down, and it was attached to a convent, so we had like nuns walking through our hallways, and most of the high school was in portable, so it was kind of like a poor high school.
Yeah, if they're not taking the time to rebuild.
Yeah, but then like the nuns had like this like multi-million-dollar beautiful church, and
of course, because that's how it works.
And all the students were like living in like portables and having classes in like these like really rickety built. This like rickety building and like rickety classrooms, so it was kind of shitty.
Yeah, shows the priority, I guess, of the church. Yeah. It still has its stronghold, which is the weirdest thing, because you know how Canada is owned by the Queen of England, and the Queen of England is owned by the church in the Vatican. So it's weird how the power structure works, because it's like this country is supposed to be multicultural, but there's just public schools or Catholic schools.
Yeah.
So it's weird that that's still a thing, that it isn't distributed to like just religious schools in general.
Yeah, my high school experience sucked.
Yeah, that's no fun. What about elementary school? What was your best school experience? Was it like university or?
University, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. More freedom,
because
I guess.
Because I got to choose what university I went to.
Okay,
So I went to Ryerson University and it was downtown. Yeah. So I love like my downtown experience, and I made a lot of friends in school that had like similar interests to me, and like most of my best friends I met in university.
Nice. Okay.
And
so that was the experience, I guess, growing up.
Yeah.
That helped. Yeah.
So it was just like so much better. I had a lot of fun in university. I think that's when I really started to like explore and like take part in like the experiences that I wanted to.
Yeah. Had your growing up experience, because I guess for most people they do that in high school, right?
Yeah.
It's like as soon as you become a teenager, you start exploring your identity, but you have to wait.
Yeah, I had to wait because my high school is super boring and super Catholic.
Yeah, restrictive. That's like the word when people think of Catholic, right?
It's yeah,
like
it was you're very, not allowed very to do anything. Catholic.
Yeah.
They would like tell us that like if you're gay, you have to like go to a camp to convert you.
Oh no.
And
that's
like, it was like extreme.
Yeah, that's like against human rights.
Yeah.
But it's weird that that's still a thing to this
day. Like, our teachers would be like, if you're gay, they should go to like the camp to convert them. And, you know, we can, and God will help them to be strong and to fight the urges. And it was really bad.
Yeah, that's not good. That's like, when I hear that stuff, I think of Christianity, not like the church. Because I assume, like, the Pope gets to change the rules, right? He said, like, evolution's good. So that's why Catholic people are allowed to even think that evolution's real. Versus like in Christianity, they go, no, it's a young earth. The earth is 6,000 years old and no such thing as evolution. And then there are the ones that are like anti-gay and have the gay camps. But I guess Catholics do it too.
Yeah.
It's not good. Yeah, so it's not like go Catholics. Are you a highly religious person? I guess I shouldn't keep talking this way. No, okay. Were your parents, is that why they put you there? Or they just thought you'd have a better
No, I grew upbringing? Up with a single mom. So she put me in this all-girls Catholic high school because she... Well, in her point of view, she said that it was, like, the best decision of her life because it kept me contained.
What's going to happen? You're still going to grow up and be curious. There's no such thing as containment.
So she just wanted me to, like, be in, like, a strict Catholic high school so she didn't have to worry about me.
The ultimate babysitting, I guess.
Yeah.
Put you somewhere where the person can't do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Ridiculous. Parents, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, would you ever want to be a parent? What's your philosophy on that?
No, I don't want kids.
You don't want kids?
No. Yeah.
Is this something you feel like you might change over time, or are you deadlocked like you have been? That's just like no kids.
I don't want kids. I want a Pomeranian dog.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
And a
you
Maine
want to be a dog
cat.
Parent. Nice. What's a Maine Coon cat?
A Maine Coon cat is like the biggest breed of cat.
Oh, true. What does it look like? Like a puma, or how big?
It looks like it's like a long-haired house cat.
Okay.
So it's like a domesticated long-haired cat, and it's like the biggest domesticated cat.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
So the cat's going to be bigger than the dog. That's the plan. Oh,
it
my
is.
God.
I think
funny.
It could get up to like 20 pounds or something.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really big.
Yeah, I think that's like the weight of my dog. I got like a little schnoodle.
Yeah.
A little schnauzer poodle, yeah.
And
that's
it's
good,
super fluffy.
Yeah. Did you grow up with any pets, or what's your upbringing on that?
I've had tons of pets. growing up.
Have you had Pomeranians?
No, I want one because it's so cute.
It is high maintenance, though. They look cute for a reason, because everyone that gets them, they gotta keep it up.
Yeah, you
keep
have to
the
brush
haircuts.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like a husky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It looks up like really small. It has a lot of hair, so you have to brush it a lot.
Yeah, but you're willing to do that. Anything for your baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. When would you want to get that? Once you're in like a stable place in life?
Or yeah, exactly.
Once you have your own place? Yeah. Do you have your own place? I guess I never asked.
I live with two roommates, so okay, we have a house nice. Together.
Oh, a house. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
that's cool. Nice. I feel like that's something I would want to do once I get there. It's like I'm still growing up, but
yeah.
By the point I get there, I think I'd want to do that.
Yeah, so we have a three-bedroom house and we all share rent.
Nice, nice. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Like, is there a permanent landlord, or will you be able to, like, pay off a mortgage and then you own it?
No, there's a landlord.
There's a landlord. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate, but still. Toronto, I guess.
Yeah.
That's how it works, property. What's the dream? Do you want to own your own house?
Oh, eventually. I would like to own my own house, yeah.
Yeah. And have your pets roam free.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you care about a lawn or anything? What's your idea on that?
I'm not sure exactly. But I kind of want to live on a farm.
Oh, really? Wow. So that's like an extreme step side, I guess, of Toronto.
I want to live on a farm with a lot of land and have my own chickens and sheep.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah.
Nice. In what way would that be realistically possible with what you're currently doing? You would need something close to Toronto, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Something in between, like Toronto and Barrie. Some kind of plot of land there.
I don't know. Exactly how it's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's still an idea. Yeah, you're not planning anything yet. Yeah, nice. Well, is it okay if I ask you some philosophical questions?
Sure.
If we've come to that segment of the podcast, one of them I have is, does everything happen for a reason, or is it all random? What's your idea on causality in the universe?
I think that I don't think it's random.
Yeah.
And I think whatever happens to you in your life, it's up to you to, like, transform it into, like, something positive.
Yeah, okay, that's great. Yeah, that's like a hybrid of the ideas.
Yeah.
Where there is meaning in everything that happens, and it happens through
you. You have to create the reason.
Yeah, make the meaning. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the exact same way. Like, my way of looking at it is that, like, obviously everything reacts to everything, right? Particles bump each other, and that just is the law of the universe. It's the law of physics, right?
Mm-hmm.
So finding meaning is the whole point. Like, a lot of people ask, what's the meaning of life? It's like, you gotta answer it yourself. It's like, it's individual, the meaning of life, right, to every person. So you find your own meaning through the events that happen when you grow up, and then when you're an adult, you get to choose. So yeah, it's nice. I got another one for you. This one's more vague, but what do you consider to be beautiful when you think of whether it's music or art, anything like that, nature?
I think there are a lot of things that are beautiful.
Yeah, that's true.
But mostly I find...
What's like your top five? Or?
I find the most beauty within the natural world.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And whenever something is built by humans, if it's inspired by the natural world, I find like that to be most beautiful.
Yeah, nice.
And also, like, what I find to be really beautiful is like things that aren't physical, but like what you feel within yourself.
Yeah.
So like
yeah.
Emotions. Because you could be looking at something that's extremely beautiful, like the most beautiful landscape. But if you're not feeling good inside, then you might see it as to be something that's ugly. So
yeah,
I think beauty
yeah.
is something that works from within.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I don't think anyone's had a take on that before
yeah,
in that way.
Because if
yeah.
you are even listening to beautiful music, but if you're feeling like shit inside, or if you're really depressed, then you can't really like fully enjoy that piece of music.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, what is that called? I think there's a way to describe that where it's like, not a way to describe it, but it's a perspective that can be found statistically through economics. They say a person's rate of happiness usually declines the more financial success they have, which is like the weirdest paradox of like everyone's life. They think everyone's striving to make more money so that they can be comfortable. and not have to struggle so much. But in certain like third world countries where they have terrible economy and they're like struggling to survive, they seem to actually be happier than the richer people that are in suburbia, because it's where you find the meaning and the beauty in life. That's the important thing. It's not necessarily having whatever material goods you might think
will put
you at like a default happiness.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the default happiness comes from within, not from without.
Yeah, I strongly believe that.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. That's a beautiful way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can find one more for you here. let's get a good one. Oh, okay. If you were given the choice, like right when you die, whenever that happens, when you're old, you get hit by a bus, like whatever happens, right when you die, if you're given the choice to either relive your life and like the exact same way, or to move on to whatever the mysterious next path is, what would you choose?
But if I relive my life, do I remember everything that happened?
That's a good question. The devil's in the details. So when it comes to this hypothetical question, I guess it's up to you. Whatever you would prefer, either you don't remember it and you just relive your life, or you remember it all.
Because if I remember it all, I could just go back and do it all
and
better.
Change it. Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah. Or you and remember
wiser
it, but you're
and
like,
smarter.
Or you remember it, but you're like in your head. So it's like the actions are being played by you and you're just in your head seeing it, but you can't change the actions.
Oh, that sucks, because then you're just going in for the ride.
Yeah, you're just watching a movie. Yeah.
No, that sucks.
Okay. Is that the worst-case scenario, I guess?
Yeah, because if I go into the next life, do I remember everything from the past? No, I don't.
Well, it's a mystery.
Yeah. I guess I would just move on.
Move on. Yeah. That's great. Do you have any ideas about what lies beyond? Do you have any concept of it, or is it just a mystery in your eyes?
I kind of have this theory that like of like collective consciousness, that we're all connected.
Yeah.
And that we're all like humans as a species.
Yeah.
Is just like the survival of our species is what is like keeps us existing.
Yeah.
So even if we die, like our children and our offspring will be what like carry on our genetics and our basically
our
legacy.
Identity, us.
Yeah.
Us as a whole. Yeah. Humanity.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
But
I'm
not sure what happens to our conscious then when we die.
Yeah.
Or maybe we're just all connected.
When you die you become
there's like one conscious.
Yeah. It's possible, yeah. There's a lot of ideas and a lot of ways you can spin that idea.
Yeah.
It's like either there's the universe itself is conscious, so it's not specific to any species or even life. It can be immaterial things as well, rocks, anything, space dust, suns.
Yeah.
It's like the whole universe has a form of consciousness, like something that it is to be, which is what consciousness is. And that's what makes kind of humanity special compared to other animals, is that we're not just instincts. Like, we do have instincts, right? One, we want to survive. To protect children once we have them, eat anything sexual related, and then fight. And then other than that, we can like just stop and like, you know, look down in a creek and see our reflection and know that that's us.
Yeah.
And that's something super unique. And then we can contemplate and we can predict the future. So we have all these like super unique abilities that other animals don't have, but it brings into mind that what if consciousness is a lot more raw than intelligence? Because there's tons of intelligent animals, like crows are really intelligent, but they don't seem to be self-aware of that. They can like solve like math puzzles and stuff, like scientists have had them in labs do things, but it doesn't bring any credence to them being self-aware that they're doing it. So
I think human consciousness is like there's only one and we're all connected.
The light of consciousness, I've heard it being said, where humanity is the light of consciousness, and we're essentially the reason why the whole universe came to be. Because if there's no observer of the universe, then what's the point of any of it? It's like the mere fact that we can see it, all of that it is, and all of its ugliness, and all of its beautiness, that is the main cause, and that's the meaning of life, is the observer to the universe itself.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to see things and hear things that are so beautiful, it makes it all kind of worth it. And that is like a collective thing, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it sounds so vague saying all this stuff out loud, like it sounds just poetic mumbo-jumbo, but like...
Yeah.
When you think about this stuff, I mean, what else can it be, I guess, right? It's like we'll never have any direct answers. So
it's a circle of life, like in Simba.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like in Lion King, when Mufasa explains it to Simba.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, we eat the gazelle, and when we die, we go into the dirt, and the gazelle eat the grass that comes from our bodies.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all cyclical, yeah.
But it's a huge mystery to me. I don't know.
How it all works, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We're all just hanging out together. I don't know. It is weird, right?
I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. Humans are lucky, too, in that we're social creatures.
Mm-hmm.
We could have been raised like cats, but we're not really social to each other.
Yeah.
And we'd all, like, there'd be no civilization. We would still be living in caves.
Yeah.
If we didn't have to interact with each other and trust each other and, you know, build up this society that we have now. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the only downside to humanity is, like, our capacity for all the evils and stuff. Because a lot of people relate us to chimpanzees because they're, like, our closest cousins genetically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of all the other primates, chimpanzees are the closest. But closest to the chimpanzees are bonobos. Do you know about those animals? They look a lot like chimpanzees, so it's like, well, people can confuse them.
Yeah.
But they're similar. I think they might have a bit less hair. But, like, chimpanzees are super violent, and they, like, wage territory wars and stuff in the jungle on each other.
Yeah.
And bonobos are, like, super loving, and they're, like, hippies. And they just, like, hang out with each other and make love constantly. And they just, like, it's super weird, but it's, like... people always, because like humans are a lot more complex than that, right? There are some that are violent, some that are peaceful. We all have the capacity for one or the other. But
I think nature in general is extremely brutal. Like even lions, they'll like kill baby lion cubs when they're taking over a new pride.
Oh really?
Yeah. So if a male lion is trying to like conquer a pride, he has to battle the current male lion that is like the leader of that pride, and then when he kills that male lion or chases him off, he kills all the baby cubs of the past male lion.
That's fucked, yeah.
So I think
nature's intrinsically evil.
I wouldn't say evil, but
just brutal.
Yeah, brutal.
Morality doesn't exist in nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's like all animals. That's one of the hardest like facts to swallow, is that except for like humans and dolphins who like enjoy having sex, all other animals, it's not fun. Like it's just rape all the time.
Yeah.
It's just this, it's just women running away. And then like with dogs, with cats, like all these animals, every animal, it's just not a good thing.
Yeah. And even cats, like house cats, their dicks have barbs on them.
Oh,
so when the male cat has sex with the female cat, it's actually like really hurting the female cat.
Like stabbing them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. That's nature for you.
Yeah.
Reproduce at any cost, I guess. That's the main programming. Oh, it's messed. So we're lucky to be humans in the fact that we don't have to be that way.
Yeah.
But it's rough, man. Yeah, that is nature. Nature has no morals. That's like a hard pill to swallow when it comes to like human rights and stuff, where it's like money is a made-up story, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not actually real. We just put the meaning behind it, and it makes it real, right? We give someone a $20 bill. That's literally just a flap of plastic in
mm-hmm.
Canada. In America, it's still paper, but it doesn't really mean anything. We just make it mean something.
Mm-hmm.
It's this collected fiction we're all telling ourselves. Same with human rights. We think it's this intrinsic thing because we have sympathy in our instincts, right? We care if other people get hurt, like unless someone's a psychopath. So it seems like it is this part of nature, but it's not. It's just something that the majority of humans have a bit of sympathy.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, like if, you know, look at the Wild West before government took over America, people just shooting each other left and right just for a penny. It's nuts. It's so weird. It's like there's actually no rules in the wild, you know? It's like anything goes.
Yeah.
It's wild. But what are you going to do, you know? Life's a crazy thing. The fact that we're able to come to this point as a society is amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially Canada. A lot of people, I was hearing complaints on Twitter when Parasite won for Best Picture. A lot of people were like, I didn't see a single LGBTQ person or black person in that production. Like, the production's racist or sexist or whatever. And everyone's like...
It's a Korean movie.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a Korean movie with Koreans in Korea.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like, if it was from America or Canada, those countries are very young and they're multicultural, right? It doesn't have that solid of an identity, except
mm-hmm.
for like the extremists who are like, oh, it must be pure or whatever. But it's like we're multicultural. Other countries aren't. It's like, you know, the rest of the world isn't at the same pace, right?
Yeah.
It's like it's still a first world country, but every different country has its own different kind of idea of what a society should be and stuff. And a lot of people can lose track of that sometimes. The fact that it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
We're not done. It's like history isn't over. We're still in the middle of it. It's still happening, right? The build up to hopefully the best possible outcome, but
yeah,
see what happens.
Yeah.
I guess that leads to another question. Are you worried about the future at all? What's your outlook on society as a whole right now? Do you think we're okay, or do you think we're in the weeds?
I think we're fucked up. We're destroying the planet, and that humans are just like this parasite just eating away at Mother Nature and the Earth. And I think cities are just like this like cancerous growth on the Earth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that is a good
analogy.
Like,
if you see the Earth from space, like, say you're an alien and you're like visiting Earth, and you're like slowly, slowly coming closer and closer to Earth, and you see like all this beautiful nature and like, and then you see cities, and you would just think that it's like a cancerous growth.
Because you can see the veins coming off it. Destroying
all of the nature and like beauty on our planet. And just like causing so much destruction and pollution. And yeah.
Is there a way out though? Do you think there's hope? Or do you think it's once we take it to the extreme that we'll finally start to actually do something good about it?
I don't know.
The powers that be, I guess.
I think there's like a lot of, there are a lot of powerful forces trying to do a lot of good. And a lot of like scientists trying to clean up the oceans and trying to do a lot of reverse damage, but I think the damage being done is a lot more powerful than all the efforts of trying to do good.
Yeah, that's true. It's
so I think there's a lot more destruction happening at a rapid pace than a lot of like
recovery.
Yeah, exactly, recovery.
Yeah, hopefully it gets to a point where it evens out and then maybe starts to get more into the recovery,
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you plan to live to find out? What's your outlook on that? Do you want to live to be like 100 or how do you see that?
I'll probably die before anything super bad happens.
Yeah.
Like before the apocalypse. I'm not going to have kids, so.
That's true. At least you're not worried about them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like it's already started, except it's not what we think. We thought the apocalypse would be like a meteorite hitting us or something. It would be a big, like World War III.
I think we're destroying ourselves.
It's a slow apocalypse, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really slow. So
but the thing
we're
is,
already seeing effects with like the hurricane seasons breaking records every year.
I think it's already begun. Humans are very self-destructive species, and we're kind of like killing ourselves and bringing us to our own doom. But the thing is, when say that time does come and we strip the earth of its natural resources and we basically destroy ourselves. Say all humans become extinct because of our own destructive nature. The earth is still going to move on and recover without us. And all the animals on earth and the planet's going to move on. We're not destroying the earth. The thing is, we're destroying ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, obviously there are certain species that are going extinct because of us.
Yeah, but new species will emerge.
Yeah, yeah,
upon our extinction.
Yeah, we're like the rate of extinction that happened when the meteorite hit 175 million years ago killed more species than what we're doing.
Yeah.
So as far as apocalypse goes, the dinosaurs had it worse so far.
Because it's not like it's not that the species need us to save them. We need them.
We need to go away.
Yeah, we need them for our own survival.
Yeah. Well, so what about the chances of us maybe becoming an outer planetary species? What if we just leave Earth alone, or we minimize our habitants there and the majority of us live like on the moon and Mars? Stuff like that. Is there any hope
for... On the moon?
Yeah. Because we would just need to build a bubble. It doesn't have to be crazy. We don't have to like terraform the planet or anything.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Have you followed up on any of that? Do you know about SpaceX and NASA, how they're planning on going to Mars by 2024 and all that?
I mean, I've heard about it, but I don't think that, like, I think it's, like, very far from our lifetimes of, like,
true.
Us actually having families there and inhabiting it.
Yeah, I really want to be able to be alive once that finally happens, but you're probably
no,
right.
No, we're not going to be alive by the
still,
time
like, another
100
years or so.
Yeah. Or maybe, like, another 1,000 years.
Hopefully not that long. Well, it was the What, 1963 when we went
like
to the moon?
Like, for us to actually start construction on Mars and the moon and to build buildings and all that?
Like
how are we going to get all the construction materials there?
Well, I feel like we can pull materials from the planet itself once we start mining, because it's untapped resources, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we could mine minerals under the core or under the crust. And plus, it's lower gravity, so I feel like making construction will be a lot easier. So it's like we could bring like giant 3D printers that can build buildings. Because you know how that's a concept now that
yeah.
we're like trying to explore making a reality? I feel like doing that on the moon would be so much easier because of lower gravity.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd be able to, I don't know, but again,
cool.
still, that's just a concept.
I would like
but,
to live on the on Mars or the moon. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know, the moon and Mars look so bland and boring compared to Earth.
Yeah, that's the ultimate downside, is that the cities would have to be really entertaining to keep
yeah,
you there,
exactly.
right? They would have to have lush forests.
Because Earth has, I mean, unless they literally build like a big bubble and like a whole greenhouse and make it beautiful.
That's, yeah, so as far as the theory goes, this is just a quick, so I don't know if I remember this verbatim, but it was like the 1980s, and I think it was Germany, they created a project, the government, called Biodome or Biosphere,
mm-hmm.
or Biosphere 2. Because Biosphere 1 was Earth itself. So they called it Biosphere 2, and it was a giant cement dome that was like 2 kilometers in diameter. And they put plants there and humans there. And the hope was that the humans exhale carbon dioxide, the trees absorb the carbon dioxide and produce oxygen, we breathe the oxygen, and it creates a cycle that's self-sustaining. So you don't need any outside influence to keep
mm-hmm.
it alive. And then that's what we would do like on the moon, where there's no atmosphere. We'd be able to create our own. But the ultimate fatal flaw and why it failed is because they created the dome out of concrete, and concrete absorbs oxygen.
Yeah.
Slowly, but when there's that much concrete, it seeps into like the pores, like the tiny bubbles in the concrete, and it
mm-hmm.
just sucks it up. So the plan failed, essentially. But it's like the fact that we tried and we now know that
yeah.
makes it hopeful, hopefully, mm-hmm. yeah, for the future.
That could be we'll kind see. Of fun.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Yeah,
within
you're not going to
pack
lifetime. Your bags.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Nice. So now that we're winding into the last 10 minutes or so, is it okay if I ask you some opinion questions?
Sure.
Okay. So this is like, you know, not really lightning round, but, you know, whatever, however you want to take it. So the first question, and the most controversial, what is your opinion on a racialized society? And I guess just to give that context, it's the same thing I was saying about money.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like, it's a story we tell ourselves. It's the same with race. It's
yeah.
like, obviously there's different pigmentations, but it's on a spectrum. It's not like a straight block of it's this, and then this, and then this. It's like, we made that up. So race in itself was a creation. So what do you think about the idea of a racialized society? Is that important, or should we try to move on from that idea?
Well, I think that, like, the thing about race is that if you were to rip everyone's skin off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're the same.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I think that, you know, what separates us is not, shouldn't be race and how we look,
mm-hmm.
but I think it is important to, like, preserve all the different cultures, languages.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, yeah.
Like histories, I think that's really important.
Yeah.
But like, I think eventually, like, for example, Toronto.
Yeah.
You know how Toronto is considered the most multicultural city in the world?
I didn't know the world. I knew Canada, but the whole world. Yeah,
yeah.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
I think eventually,
nice.
Like, we're going to be like, there'll be so many mixed races in Toronto.
That it's just impossible to distinguish.
Like, for example, I'm Korean and you're white.
Yeah.
Say we have a baby, and
yeah.
then that baby has a baby with another mixed race person, and eventually, what if Toronto or Ontario becomes its own
race? Yeah, yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Of like
yeah.
all these mixed races.
Yeah, it becomes the single race of once everyone mates. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah, true. That's the eventual future in metropolises, at least, right?
Yeah.
Is that the races keep mixing until there's no race.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So maybe within like the next like 500 years or so, we
yeah.
come to Toronto and Toronto is like its own race because of all the immigrants that came 500 years ago and
yeah,
mixed
yeah,
together,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah. that's the best possibility, I think.
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at it. Like in, I've written some books, as I'm sure you know, and in one of them it takes place like in the super future.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, we haven't evolved into different creatures, even though it's been like millions of years, we still look like humans. And that's just because we control the environment. Mm-hmm. And that's usually what changes a species. So we still look the same, except just everyone's like, you know, like an off brown kind of, like they look kind of Brazilian. Mm-hmm. I was like, what's the middle race of everything? So
yeah,
I like
exactly.
tried to hone it in on that. I'm like, the nose shape and structure and the eyes and the chin and everything. I'm like, what's the most middle ground of just everyone that's ever existed?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, Brazilian, like somewhere around there, kind of like Southern American mm-hmm. mix of everything. We'll obviously see, but
yeah,
that's my idea. Is it'd be nice if we just got rid of that concept.
Yeah, and then you know how even in Toronto, we have like the fusion restaurants.
yeah.
So like Asian fusion, and like Korean Japanese fusion food, and then there's like even like kimchi poutine and kimchi burgers and things like that.
Yeah,
I think like eventually like everything will just be fusion in Toronto at least. But countries like China and Korea and like, there's still like a lot of like immigration into Korea, but it's not as much.
Yeah.
As
it's just a different scenario.
Yeah.
It's the same with like Japan, but Japan is an island, so it makes more sense because they have very limited resources.
Mm-hmm.
So they like just don't allow immigration at all.
Yeah.
They're like just Japanese citizens are allowed to live there unless there's like really special circumstances.
Yeah.
And so that can be seen as very backward thinking, but it's like, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process, right? It's just eventually, where are we going to go? The people that are like super stuck on nationality and they go like this nation versus that nation. It's like, what do you think is going to happen? Like a million years from now, there's still going to be a Canada. There's still going to be an America. It's like, you can't think that way. It's like, we already have airplanes and the internet. We're already global. It's just a matter of time that, you know,
mm-hmm.
the division has to stop at some point or it'll kill us all, you know, one or the other. Right. Yeah, but hopefully that doesn't happen. I don't think it will, but. You can't count all your chickens before they hatch, I guess.
Yeah. That's why I think Toronto and like Ontario and Canada is so cool, is because we are so multicultural.
Yeah.
Like, I really strongly think that eventually we'll become our own race. Like, Toronto will become its own.
Yeah. And hopefully it just becomes a norm that it's like when you go to a big city, there's just no telling what anyone is and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. It's like, I don't know if I'm helping to that because it's like I have a Belgian descendancy. And my current girlfriend, she doesn't know because her family comes from Newfoundland, but most likely you can kind of tell from her face that she looks Polish. So it's like our kids.
Yeah.
We'll pin it on that, right? We'll heavily push them towards a mixed race kind of lifestyle. but I guess we'll see. So next question, what is your opinion on how politics are handled? Do you find yourself reading in on politics a lot, or are you not really part of that world?
No, I'm not really part of that world, to be honest. I'm not a very political person.
Yeah. The same with me. It's like I try to be, but I can't. I'm like, I guess I'm just central, because it's like I see points of view from all sides. Because like my main thing, like my main fix, is like science and facts. So I'm like, whatever's a fact, that's what's most important to try and promote and give a platform to. So when I see people on the left and right side saying things that are infactual, it just always annoys me. Like anything related to abortion, I'm like, it's not a life when it's conceived. It's a single-celled organism. You can't consider that a life, right? But it's like, if it's a 9-month-old baby, then you shouldn't abort it, right?
Yeah.
There's a clear distinction between the two. But people are like, no, it's usually religion involved. They go, no, it's a spirit in it once it's conceived and you're killing.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not killing. And then with global warming, it's like, it's not a political issue. It's a fact that global warming's real. So it's like, so I guess I'm more left-leaning than I think, but I try to be as central as possible. So next question. What is your opinion on kids with social media? You think it's a danger?
I think it's a part of evolution.
Yeah.
Kids with social media.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think it's great.
Yeah.
But social media is one of those things that you could use it for good and you can use it for bad, you know?
It's like a hammer. It's just a tool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I think social media is like a very good... great positive tool, but I mean, I think parents for young kids should be regulating and monitoring their child's use of social media, because like if they're spending all their day on social media and they're not being monitored, I think they can be influenced negatively by social media. So it's something that is could also be dangerous to a young child and their development. So I think, and they can be extremely vulnerable as well.
To, yeah, online predators or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So I think social media is something that's like really amazing, but there should also be, now that it's becoming such a prevalent part of our youth's lives, there should be a lot of education around it.
Yeah, treat it like sex. It's like, yeah, it's better if they know them, if they know more than less.
Yeah, I think like schools should be kind of evolving to like the changing technologies, and like even be teaching our young children about social media and about the internet. And there should be classes on it at a young age to help them navigate this new technological world and navigate it in like a safe way.
Yeah, that's great, because that's all we can do.
Yeah.
It's not going away, so yeah, that's great. Another question for you here. What is your opinion on, let's see, tattoos? Good, bad?
I think tattoos are like is a form of art that I can appreciate.
Yeah.
And
I guess the obvious question is, do you have any or no?
I do.
You do? Okay,
I have two tattoos. Nice. My tattoos are really stupid.
It's fine.
I have 666.
What?
On my boob.
Yo, rebel. What? That's insane.
Yeah, and then I got the word bacon tattooed on my ass.
Oh my
god. But I was like on a lot of ecstasy, and my friend tattooed it on me with like a sewing needle.
What?
Yeah.
Like a sewing needle, like
from
just a needle.
Store.
Oh my god, that's hardcore.
Yeah, so it was like a really stupid decision when I was like in my early 20s.
And still, you're discovering yourself, so. Yeah.
And we were just like kind of like really not blasted on ecstasy, and we're like, let's do tattoos on each other, and we're just like, I want 666 and bacon, and then I did a thunderbolt on her and like a smiley face.
Yeah.
And then she did the tattoos on me, so.
You got the more hardcore out of the two, but yeah.
So yeah, I think tattoos are like a form of expression, and it's a form of art, and I could appreciate it.
Yeah. But do you have any plans to get future ones?
Or? No.
Okay, great. There you go.
Yeah, personally, I like to appreciate art on like a canvas or at an art gallery.
Yeah. Good point.
But I think everyone has the right to do whatever they want with their body. Their body, their right, their choices. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, as a parent, just advise them, but don't try to control them, because then they'll just obviously do it. So.
Yeah. I mean, if I had a kid, I would like give them advice on like tattoos, and like, I mean, I wouldn't let them get them until they're 18.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. I didn't get mine until I was 18. So yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah,
that's definitely an important factor.
Once they're 18, it's their body, their choice, their regrets. So.
Exactly. They're an adult. If you can vote, you can get a tattoo.
Yeah.
Go to town. Yeah. Nice. Well, that's great. Hey, thanks for talking with me.
Yeah,
thanks for
course.
Being
thanks
here
for
and having this conversation. Yeah. Now, this is a question I always ask, and always it's always like some people get it, some people don't know. But as the last question for the audience, what's some day-to-day advice you would give to them?
To the audience, day-to-day advice?
Yeah.
I don't know. I need advice.
Keep going, keep trucking. You need some?
Okay. I need advice. What's your advice to me?
Live, laugh, love. I don't know. No. Maybe perspective. That's one thing that I think I've mentioned enough times on this podcast that I might as well use as a piece of advice, is like, I, every single day, just feel lucky to be alive. I never wake up feeling miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I was an alcoholic for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that feeling of self-destruction, where you just black out and you don't see or know anything, and then you come to and you don't know how you got somewhere, it's almost like a form of Alzheimer's, which is almost like a form of dying, where it's, you don't know what happened, and then you come back into consciousness and you're alive again. So it's like, you know, I haven't drank in over a year now, but it's important to keep in mind just how lucky we are, especially like in a country like Canada, you know?
Yeah.
Whether or not you're doing well economically, it's important to keep the perspective that you are alive and that life is a gift, and it's important to just see the beauty in it, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good one, to always be grateful and to count your blessings.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess we can end it on that. So again, thanks for coming on and talking.
Thanks for having me.